This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Geo coming to you live, the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got a lot of baseball going on, as we know, and Jerry Recker will give you all of that stuff coming up in the update. The Mets win and another Yankees loss, and of course a ton of this Hard Knocks stuff that was going on last night in episode number 2 with the New York Giants, giving you an insight into what is happening in that organization. And one of the things that is really amazing to me is how these deals go down and how these things happen. And I guess when I think about it, it's like, how else would something like this happen? These general managers having these conversations. But seeing Joe Shane at the East-West Shrine Bowl talk to his buddy Dan Morgan, and they're just loitering. And Morgan goes, hey, you want to give me a 2-1s for Burns? I don't know. What about 2-2s? And just like talking like that. And then him like sneaking over into the, hey, I'm going to go over to the Patriots box, go talk to them. Hey, you know, just, you know, keep us in mind. For whatever reason, in my head, yeah, I thought it was much more, I don't know, like
professional.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that.
And organized.
Yeah, yes. Professional and organized. And I feel like, how many deals have been done in the NFL with guys at a bar? That's what I started thinking about, like drinking and messing around.
I think a lot.
Right, exactly. Hey, let's have a steak dinner, a couple martinis. Next thing you know, you trade away your entire draft. I mean, if it's that casual.
I think Mike Ditka did do that.
He did with Ricky Williams. Yeah. If it's that casual, I'd love to know how some of these stories of these trades have gone down in the past.
I think if I'm interviewing a guy like Joe Shane for the eventual general manager's job of the New York Giants, one of the first questions I ask is, you know, you work for this organization, work for that organization, you know, who are your mentors? I want to know who his mentors are. And he'll probably say Brandon Bean for Buffalo. He knew him when he was down in Carolina. I was around here. I was around there. A lot of this is, you know, who do you know? How long have you known them? And how many deals have you seen them do? So I get a sense of whether or not he has the ability to do exactly what he did with Dan Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a good thing. I think that's a great way of knowing whether or not your general manager is plugged into the rest of the league.
Yes.
Now we've been talking a lot about Daniel Jones and kind of the human nature part of this whole thing. We talked about Saquon Barkley and all of that crap that's gone on around him. But then here you have Brian Burns. So the Giants make a trade for him, and then they extend him a huge contract.
Yeah, and then Joe Shane, you know, went up to Brian Daboll, and I forget who was sitting next to him, and they were talking about, you know, potentially Christian Wilkins and bringing him in and Xavier McKinney, and, you know, they said, well, Burns, he goes, you know, and Daboll goes, well, that's going to be a costly one, right? And he's like, well, he's like, you know, 2-2s and probably $29 million a year. You know, like,
yeah, so if you're Saquon Barkley and they're trading for somebody, and they're paying him $29 million a year, and you've been here for 6 years. And I know you play a running back position, and you got to, you know, bite the bullet when it comes to, you know, how much money those guys make. Just think about how that would make Saquon feel.
Yeah,
especially Daniel Jones making $41 million.
All right, I'm trying to put this in some perspective for, like, what we do. Like, all right, so it's basically like saying, man, when you see some of these contracts in media, like how did you feel when Tony Romo got $17 million to call the games with Jim Nance type of thing? Well, it's a different job.
It's a different job. I was shocked.
Right. You were shocked, but still, it wasn't like you didn't. Did you take it personally?
No, I didn't think it personally, but I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So like,
would he set the bar for everybody else to come along after him?
Yeah, and maybe that's not the best example, but my point is that it's not apples to apples. And if Saquon is looking at it that way, he's not using all of the information to process it properly.
I know. I mean, because I know the reality of the price point for a running back. But I'm just telling you that there's a human element to all of this.
Yeah. I know.
And guys do get upset. And, you know, if you're the Jets, for instance, do you want a happy Hassan Reddick or do you want an unhappy Hassan Reddick?
Well, I mean,
do you want a Hassan Reddick who's protecting himself from injury so he can get a big contract next year? Or do you want to give him the contract now so when he comes here, he at least feels like he's got some sort of guarantee and he just lets loose? And, you know, if he does have a little quad tweak or this tweak, or he'll play through it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you want him to be a full go. You want him to be happy. You want him to be available. Yeah, all of that
stuff. And I think that's part of the stuff that Shane and Douglas and all these other guys have got to deal with, you know, the human nature part of it, the human element. And everybody wants to get paid. Everybody thinks that they're the best. Everybody thinks that they should be the highest paid at their position. That's just, especially when you are at the top of your position, like, you know, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not signing a contract unless I am the highest paid wide receiver. And I'm sure Ja'Marr Chase is going to want to eclipse that next year.
Yeah. I mean, I think with Saquon, he's got to compare himself to the other running backs. So when that thing that Jerry played earlier where Joe Shane was talking to another one of his colleagues about the cap going up, and he's like, oh, 255.4. And the guy on the phone goes, yeah, I think Saquon thinks I think 26 thinks he's going to get his Jonathan Taylor. Meaning,
yeah,
Saquon probably thinks he's going to get that contract that Jonathan Taylor got that he would have accepted if offered.
And how's that Jonathan Taylor contract working out? He's spent a lot of time getting hurt, too.
Hurt last year, right?
Especially the way he runs.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that's just another example of that. So, I can understand how Saquon's like, man, you can't be... Point is, you can't be mad at the Giants for giving Brian Burns that money.
You
could be mad at the system and the NFL and say, man, it sucks that this is the way that it is, but you can't be mad at the Giants because every other team's doing the same thing.
Which is a bigger loss for a particular franchise? Saquon Barkley leaving and going to the Philadelphia Eagles or Derrick Henry leaving and going to the Baltimore Ravens?
Man.
Derrick Henry's got to be a Ring of Honor guy for the Titans, right?
Yes, you talk a bigger loss on the field.
I'm just like in the eyes of the fans, like
Derrick Henry won an MVP. I mean,
so it does happen. It's like, we're caught up in the Saquon drama around here, but it happens.
Sure.
I mean, Adrian Peterson left.
He absolutely did. I mean, there's been guys who have probably, like, for example, Dalvin Cook last year. It was surprising to me that the Vikings didn't give him one more year. But they let him go, and then he ended up stinking, and he looked like he was done.
How about Le'Veon Bell not, you know, sitting out a year?
Sitting out an entire year, and that essentially ruined his career. He was trying to make a point, didn't really work out. But there's more.
It never works out.
Right. But finally, the example of the holding on to the running back too long that ended up helping you. Right? You know, or cutting bait too
Think about Ezekiel Elliott. And the Cowboys. Now, he went back to the Cowboys this year, but last year it was with the Patriots.
Yeah, right.
I just said another guy on my tongue. Who was it? I had another guy like Ezekiel Elliott, you know, where he was with the Cowboys, signed the big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say he was the last running back who got the big deal.
Yeah, he got a huge contract. And people at the time were like, wow, Jerry, what are you doing? Like, I know you wanted to keep Zeke, but... Jesus.
So again, and I'm sure that guys like Joe Shane, the younger general managers that have been around and watch the analytics and look at the numbers and try to equate an age with output, with a contract, and all of those different variables that go into making these decisions. I kind of think that Jerry Jones and Ezekiel Elliott, I would think in the back of the mind of Joe Shane, he wants to tell John Mara, I know you love Saquon Barkley. I love Saquon Barkley, but we can't pay him this money.
Yeah, I know. And I think that John Mara ultimately understood that. He just, it probably was the worst case scenario for him. It's like, okay, not only did he leave, but he went to the team in the Philadelphia Eagles that I can't stand.
You know what's amazing? John Mara, to me, I can't say this about a lot of other owners, but I just kind of feel like he loves his players.
Yeah.
Like, he loves Eli Manning.
Sure.
He loves Daniel Jones. Yeah. He loves Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, I feel like he's like close to those guys. And sometimes, you know, the owner sometimes gets in the way. You remember, like, for the most part, I felt like Bob Kraft allowed Bill Belichick to make those decisions, those hard decisions. The Ty Law decisions, the Richard Seymour decisions.
I mean, he also
trying to hold down
record.
Trying to hold down Brady's contract.
Yeah.
Trading away Deion Branch, Brady's favorite receiver, you know, right. that kind of stuff.
Right. But he had, I mean, he had a track record of winning where the Giants haven't had that in a long time with these last couple of regimes. And when you talk about loving players and doing things, think about it. Back when Pat Shurmur was hired along with Dave Gettleman, we believed at the time, John Mara said, we're giving Eli one more shot and we're going to try to put guys around him in order to squeeze one more positive year out of him. So if you're coming here and you're going to work for us, you got to deal with Eli for at least another year. I mean, that's what we felt at the time.
Yes.
So he does maybe get too involved with guys that he loves.
Which I think is, it's a very admirable trait to have. It really is.
But then again,
But it also hurts you.
It does, right. But it also didn't stop Saquon Barkley from going to Philadelphia either. Like, he didn't say, pay him whatever he wants, we're keeping him here.
No, I think he finally realized that I got to let my GM do what he's supposed to do and what he believes in. And watching Joe Shane through these first two episodes, I can't say that I'm not impressed.
Yeah, I like him, and I agree with everything that he's doing, and I think that he wanted to trade up. He tried to trade up. Those teams weren't trading down.
I wish this would have happened at the end of the year that they went to the playoffs and decided to give Daniel Jones the contract.
Oh, man, I know. I wish I could have heard
some of those conversations.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because, you know, the contract that Daniel Jones signed, when you look at the other quarterbacks that have signed new contracts, it's kind of a compromise contract. Mm-hmm. It's not an all-in contract.
Oh, yeah, it's like we can get out of it in a couple of years.
It's a compromise contract.
You'll get paid, you'll get a decent amount of guaranteed money, but don't think that you're going to be here for the rest of your career.
I cannot wait to see what Tua Tagovailoa signs for with Miami.
Yeah.
And what Jordan Love signs for with the Packers. That, to me, is those two contracts. I can't wait to see those contracts.
I think the Jordan Love one even might be more interesting because we don't have as much of a sample size to go off of.
But he's not a first-year player either.
No, I know. Been around.
And by the way, again, another prime example of not playing a young kid when he's not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Just let them sit. That's why I know that Caleb Williams is starting right out the gate. I don't know. I'm assuming Jaden Daniels probably going to start right out the gate for Washington. Drake May, I don't know about New England because they do have Jacoby Brissett. And maybe they let Jacoby Brissett play until he gets hurt, because you know he's going to get hurt.
Yeah, I don't think J.J. McCarthy's going to start. I think Sam Darnold's going to start for the Vikings.
All right, good. I hope so. Yeah. I hope for those young players, I hope that's the case. I mean, because not everybody's going to be a C.J. Stroud.
Exactly. Most guys are not that. But as we talked
about, 9 out of 10 guys aren't that.
Right. As we talked about earlier, you had an opportunity still for the Giants, who we knew wanted a quarterback, but it had to be the right one. They had an opportunity to draft Michael Penix or J.J. McCarthy and passed on both of those guys. So
I think when you have a stud wide receiver and how important the wide receiver has become in the NFL over the last 10 years, and they had OBJ, and when OBJ was here, he was scintillating.
Actually, wait, the Vikings traded up to get ahead of the Giants, though, to get McCarthy, didn't they?
No. No, they drafted him 10.
I don't remember now. Mm. Okay.
My neighbors went sixth.
That's right. Now, I know neighbors went sixth. I just remember the... You're right. Tenth.
You're right.
Yeah,
he went 10th.
Yep. So, man. Man, oh, man. And I know they obviously didn't like J.J. McCarthy enough to pick him at six. I wonder what they thought about Michael Penix. It didn't even look like they had... If they did have him in...
It didn't even look like they were... Like, see, I like what... I see, to me, I'm the one... I love Michael Penix. I love looking for that big Penix. Yeah, okay. So I love the guy. You know I love the guy. He's left-handed, and I love what Atlanta did because he's not going to have to play. He could sit for a couple years.
Sure.
And he can watch how to play quarterback from somebody who plays it very well and prepares very well, as we saw in the quarterback documentary.
That's right, with Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
Yep. And Kirk Cousins is that type of guy who, I mean, there was some stuff that came out with his agent saying he was confused about this, whatever. But, I mean, Kirk Cousins is going to be the ultimate professional. And he's not going to give...
He's going to be a great role model for Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, he's not going to give him the cold shoulder or any of that stuff.
No, of course not.
He's not an ego guy.
An egomaniac.
Conrad and Cherry Hill. What's going on, Conrad?
Hey, Jack. Great to have you back. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the summer. Love the show.
Thanks, Conrad. What's happening, man?
So, Booms, I have a question for you. Yep. And then a comment. So, watching what we saw during this past two episodes with Hard Knocks, did the Giants upgraded their offensive line and also made the trade for Burns? Would we have been able to make those moves and still pay Barkley? That's my question.
I think they could have still paid Barkley if they wanted to. I think the ship sailed last year after Barkley got the franchise tag placed on him. I don't think he was very happy about that. And I think Joe Shane recognized that this year. And we could all talk about the salary cap. It went up high enough. They could have made it fit if they really wanted to. But I think also taking Saquon out of the equation now, it seems to me like it's more on Daniel Jones to be the guy that they hope that he can be. And the fact that they drafted Malik Nabers is going to give Daniel an opportunity now to take some shots down the field and let Malik go up and make some plays for him. And hopefully we'll see more big plays from the Giant offense on the outside as opposed to from the running back position.
Well, with that being said, which I think you hit it right on the head, Booms. I personally don't have any issue with what I saw with them going after a quarterback. And Daniel Jones better not come back this season with pouting with this whole, you know, poor me thing. You know, you've been injured. Half of the world don't think you could actually, you know, be great at your position. I think this is something, this is a challenge for him. He should embrace it. You're on the contract. So if you come out this year and you ball out for the Giants, you know, there's nothing that's saying that you're not going to be back the following year.
Exactly.
So I have no problem.
Yeah, you're right. But you're right about that. And thanks for the call, Conrad. You're totally right about that. I mean, this has got to be a chip on the shoulder spot.
Yeah,
and it should be. And they have challenged him in many different ways, both publicly with Joe Buck and Rich Eisen on the media side, and then also in the second version of Hard Knocks, we saw it.
Yeah, and don't forget, he already went through this one time already, too, in the first
and
year.
And he responded.
Right, he did respond. And they didn't replace, as far as the cap stuff and Saquon Barkley, they didn't replace Saquon with a rookie on a rookie contract that was a third-round pick. They did sign Devin Singletary.
To half the money.
Right. So $5.5 million, half the money. So it's, you know, did save some money, for sure. But, and that probably helped in other areas.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see this. I mean, when you look at their skill position groups, you know, it's probably in the bottom third of the league. Still.
Who has a better chance? And I know it's probably going to be Aaron Rodgers, probably the comeback player of the year, but let's put him out of it for a second. Who has a better chance of being a comeback player of the year? Daniel Jones or Sam Darnold?
Well, Daniel Jones is coming off of an injury. Again, to me, that sets him up to be the comeback player of the year if he plays in all 17 games and he gets his team to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is right there, too.
This I know, but I got to. He'll get it for the sake of getting it. You know?
You think he's going to get it for the sake of getting it?
Yeah, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers, and no matter what he does, they could go up to 7-10 and he'll still get it.
And this offense that the Jets run is not all that difficult in terms of it's him making plays down the field.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what he did in Green Bay. And that's probably what drove Mike McCarthy crazy. You know, you didn't throw it where we had it thrown up to be thrown. Well, I saw this. This is what I did. And guess what? It was successful.
It certainly was.
So you got to kind of let a player play, I guess. That's the way you got to look at it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco here. Another update for us. What's up, Jerry?
We are brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. A few more from Joe Shane from Hard Knocks last night. Then we got some other stuff to get to. First, this one we haven't heard yet. This was Shane talking to Saquon Barkley's agent about why he was not making an offer at this time until he would go out and shop himself.
I didn't want to come in a number because I really don't have a great idea where the market is. That's why I'm going to let the league tell him what it is. And, hey, if you want to come back and be a Giant, let's try to find something that makes sense.
And then another one, again, talking to the agent about what he thinks of Saquon at this point.
I do think he was our best offensive player.
Yep. Okay.
Appreciate it. All right. I'll shoot you a text after I talk with him.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
All right. So then you would get the conversation with Barkley. This one, I thought this one was interesting because while we know it was never a done deal until it was a done deal, certainly it almost sounded like it in his head as he's talking to Barkley.
I think it's the right thing to do. I love you, man. I appreciate everything you did for the organization, you know, the 2 years I was here. And I'm not saying we're not going to get something done, but I think it's right if for some reason it doesn't work out that you know that the organization thinks the world of you and everything you've done. But hopefully, you know, you go out there, you see the market, and you say, you know what, I want to be here, and you give us a shout back.
And as we know, we wound up with Philadelphia. Now,
the interesting thing about this, the average annual salary for the top three running backs in the NFL right now as we speak, Christian McCaffrey is making $19 million.
Mm-hmm.
Alvin Kamara, he is making $15 million. And Jonathan Taylor is making $14 million. That's your top three running backs. And then Saquon comes in around 12 and a half. So if you're Saquon, you're saying to yourself, okay, you're comparing yourself to those three players is basically what you're doing. And you wanted to probably be somewhere in the middle of that. And the Giants weren't willing to do that.
And now, do we know the difference? Well, first of all, do we know if, for a fact, if Saquon and his agent went back to Joe Shane with the Eagles deal? We don't know that, right?
I don't know. Now, I have the sound of the trailer for episode 3, which doesn't give you a whole lot, but this was after the show ended.
On the next Hard Knocks.
Saquon Barkley has turned down several different offers.
I offered him today a 3-year deal at 12.5 APY and 25 guaranteed. He'd be a Giant.
I have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes.
That's right.
Yeah, there was. I heard that. I had a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes. I guess I didn't hear that clearly with Joe Shane.
Not sure
offer.
What he's saying though. Is he saying if I offered him, he'd be a Giant? I don't know if he said he did offer it or.
Let's hear it again.
On the next Hard Knocks,
Saquon Barkley has turned down several different offers.
I offered him today a 3-year deal at 12.5 APY and 25 guaranteed. He'd be a Giant.
I think it's if I offered him.
I hear the word if in there, yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me.
It doesn't sound like he's going to offer him that.
Right.
So I offered him that, and who's he telling that to? Is he telling that to John Mara?
His back was to the camera. He was writing on a board, and I couldn't see.
Because I heard a second voice in there.
That was John Mara was the second voice.
Oh, it was.
He would be sick if he goes.
Right.
But again, they cut that off quickly. So, very interesting, though. Keep you hooked for next week, Tuesday night. That was this episode of Hard Knocks. To the baseball, and then I got some basketball for you guys, which you're going to just love.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yankees in Tampa last night. They had an opportunity. They took a 1-0 lead. Then they were down. They had a chance. The big Juan Soto at the plate, down 2 with a runner on.
Fairbanks 0-1. Soto drives it into left center field, chases Siri back, out of the track, at the wall, leaping catch, right against the navy blue wall. That's the ball game.
That's the ball game, folks.
Juan Soto!
Emmanuel Bobori, the final out on the Fan. 5-3 as the Rays beat the Yankees. Tampa with that 4-run first inning, highlighted by the Isak Paredes 3-run homer off of a losing pitcher, Carlos Rodon. Who knows? The first inning continues to get him.
That's got to be a shutdown inning after they scored one. I was looking to put up a zero. Yanni hits a slider every second, and Randy pulls a ball, you know, hits it hard down the line for double. And, you know, they get things going, get ahead of Ahmed Rosario, and he shoots a ball. He made some good swings, and they made a bad pitch to Paredes.
Oh, yes, he did. And Randy is Randy Arozarena, who had the double. Here was Ben Rice. He homered in the loss. Yeah, this is frustrating, sure.
Yeah, I think it's just that we know we're better than this, right? Obviously, I wasn't here for the majority of the first part of the year, but, like, everyone saw what we could do when we're, you know, at our best. So I think it's just, you know, a matter of time before we dig ourselves
out.
And
as you point out, 6-17 in the last 23, yet still 17 games over 500. So it's been ugly. They're the worst team in baseball over these 23 games, but still 55-38. Now, we'll get to more of this John Boy interview with Aaron Boone. The team has not played well. We all agree. So he would set up, and again, Boone's on a Zoom call in his hotel room in Tampa. John Boy sets up this next question about mistakes this way.
And I don't want to say any words that are going to, not personal shots are rude, but kind of like lackadaisical or just blank in the brain. Some fundamentals where the head just not in the game.
Okay, so he's trying to be nice and tiptoe around it. Then he would list, this is 25 seconds, but listen to all these things he lists.
In this stretch, we had going back, DJ just swiping at the ball at third, letting the runner go to second. Grisham, that letting that ball, routine ball, get fielded and move away. We
might
had
the worst one.
DJ not hustling down on that double play.
Not great.
And then the Volpe and DJ combined play.
Not great.
As well as Glaber not hustling and, you know, Glaber drop pop-ups where it's like, how is that
pop
happening?
Pop-up.
Pop-up, yeah.
Yeah, the one he dropped in 7 years, yeah.
So the fight back, but
yeah.
He is right. Now, it's a lot of games, but that's a lot of examples.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of them came from that one Friday night game, too. That
fair.
Was, it just seemed like they were just lost.
Out of it.
Yeah, right, completely.
That's
yeah.
why I thought when he used the word lackadaisical, I think he's right. That's what it felt like. And then he asked the question, so apparently this is the longest stretch of any team this season. The Yankees have gone 20 games without a stolen base. No other team has gone that long.
Again, it's something to point to, but, you know, we're going to play aggressively when we have the opportunities to do it. And try and be opportunistic where we can. But that's just, I don't know. I feel like that's a little bit of a lazy way of looking at it. I mean, you can't just say, oh, we're in a 20-game stretch where we're down 3 or 4 nothing in 70% of these or down a few runs and you want a guy to steal.
Because they're down so much and they need to figure it out.
Now, after he responded with the pop-ups thing and said 1 in 7 years, did he respond to any of the other examples that John Boy...
No, because John Boy then reacted to that answer.
Yes, but that combined with all the other things I just said is a lot of...
And that's how it goes on and on and on in that way. And it kind of took a couple of different directions. But I give him credit, 50 minutes though.
Yeah,
and he sits there for the entire time and answers the questions. You can tell he's annoyed. I mean, but that's—I don't think it's because of the questions as much as what he's dealing with the team. Marcus Stroman, Zach Eflin go tonight on the Fan. First pitch at 6:50 to the Mets, where they open up a series with a disappointing loss on Monday with the Pirates, but then come right back.
2-0 to McNeil, hit hard towards first base, hit past the diving Yepes, going down the right field line. Taylor scores from third. The ball ricochets and bounces around in the corner before it's finally picked up by Thomas, who fires in. McNeil standing at second with a double and a run batted in, and the Mets have increased their lead to 7-2.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose on WCBS 880. They would win 7-5 because the bullpen does nothing easy, but they did win. They get back to 545-45 on the season. The offense really starred Francisco Lindor and Brandon Nimmo. A 3-run homer for Nimmo. Lindor 3-for-4, a home run, 3 RBIs, 2 runs scored. Pretty damn good across the board. Here was Lindor and SNY figuring out Jake Irvin because last time he had them twisting at the plate last week on July 4th in Washington.
You got to make the adjustment pitch to pitch, at bat to at bat, and if you don't do that, and you face him the next time, you better make the adjustment. You know, it's we're big leaguers, and this game is all about making adjustments. We did make the adjustments today, and we came out on top.
And that was Lindor and SNY. And so they get the series opening win. Jose Quintana, seven innings, one hit ball, five strikeouts. Should have been easier, but he does get the win. Edwin Diaz, the final out for the save. You get Severino and Corbin tonight at 7:10. The Mets did acquire Phil Maton from the Rays for a player to be named later, or for cash. And Kodai Senga, 2 2/3 at Syracuse, second minor league rehab
start.
So if you're
someone who's the leader of this team, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, Phil Maton comes in, what are you telling about this group?
The bullpen stinks. Please help.
That's it? Not like, hey, we got this song with Jose Iglesias. It's oh, my God. We do this thing, slap it ass.
We got the grimace.
We got grimace. Do you tell them all that stuff?
Maybe.
Just so you know, this is what's going on here.
Yeah. If you see our second baseman grab the microphone after a win, this is normal.
Yeah.
I think you probably talk about all those different things, yes. And then remind him the bullpen stinks, so please be better.
Yeah. Please help.
How about this? Remember once upon a time, Javi Baez was a Met?
Oh, my God. What a miserable stretch that was. That was the whole thumbs down thing. Stroman was here, Baez.
And there was that conversation. Re-sign him, don't re-sign him. Fair to say things have not gone well for him since. So much so that he gets mocked on these broadcasts. Last night in Detroit, the Tigers did lose to the Guardians 9-8-10. Game is tied at 7. I think it was the 7th inning as Baez is at the plate. This is Bally Sports Cleveland.
Javier Baez. He got hit. I'll tell you what, Salem's just all over the place. Baez chirping. Look, Javi, you're hitting way under 200. Nobody's hitting you on purpose.
That's great.
He's batting 182 with one home run and 25 RBIs. So, the announcer's not wrong.
Man, could you imagine if we were still here?
No.
Oh, boy.
Him batting 182, Lindor getting off to a rough start. I mean, it's a good thing that they rid themselves of him when they did. The Knicks introduced Mikal Bridges yesterday.
Yeah, baby.
So there was this thought that he asked out of Brooklyn. Sean Marks said that was not true. So he was asked point blank yesterday if he asked out of Brooklyn.
No, I mean, it's just not who I am. It's just not. It's just, yeah, that's what it is. So I'm happy Sean had a chance to kind of tell everybody. But, you know, no matter what you say, they ain't going to believe it anyway.
Maybe not.
That was the point, though, that I was saying that yesterday, why would Sean Marks even lie about that? And that's not who Sean Marks is, by the way.
No, I wouldn't think so either.
And that's not who Mikal Bridges is.
And Sean Marks, actually.
Well, it depends.
You tell us.
Probably the worst GM this side of Billy King.
At least he tried.
You know what, though?
He tried. He had you guys excited for a couple years.
I understand why you would say that. I also know at one point he did have Kyrie Irving and Mikal Bridges and Kevin Durant here, and he turned Durant to 9 first-round draft picks.
No, I know. I'm just busting.
But I get why you would say that.
I mean, he swung and missed a couple times. There's a lot of things he did that I would have done the same thing, quite frankly, outside of maybe bringing James Harden here. We kind of said it at the time. But did you see Tibbs with the polo shirt tucked into the jeans? Not a great look for the coach.
But that's who he is, though. That's the thing you got to love about him.
Come on, Tibbs.
What do you want? Awful.
It's not.
You're used to seeing him differently. That's the problem.
Is that Leon Rose?
Yeah,
he actually showed up to something.
It's a hologram. Actually.
Okay.
But like, if you're going to be as casual to wear jeans, leave the shirt untucked. You know?
Yeah, I get it.
That's the combo that I don't understand.
Yeah, you know why? That's the coach. That's who he is. He's a basketball coach. He doesn't care about anything else but basketball.
I mean, he's around all these guys with high fashion. You'd think it'd rub off on him.
He makes enough money.
Yeah, it looks like he's down to a hair and a half now.
I didn't realize his hair looks really red there.
Yeah, I think it's just the lighting.
He's a ginger.
He's a guy. No, he's not a ginger. Is he?
I got newsy. He looks a little bit like a fat Evan.
In that situation?
Yeah.
In that
picture.
Yeah, I guess so. Is that Evan's future right there?
Fat, heavier.
Fat Evan.
And then we know the way Tibbs plays his guys. Mikal Bridges says, bring it on.
I mean, it's great. I know Tibbs is a great coach. And I think one thing, like, who doesn't want to play? You know, who doesn't want to play all the time? And just who he is, just how he embodies and how structured he is. And, you know, that's where I came from. That's high school, college, you know, with Coach Monty.
And that's
as well.
A guy that plays 80 games a year, too.
Who doesn't want to play all the time?
Yeah, 90% of the NBA.
Yes.
That is true, too. So there you have it. Mikal Bridges, the newest of Knicks. Coming up next hour, you will hear from Rory McIlroy, who has spoken.
Oh, yeah, finally he has revealed himself.
Better late than never.
3 weeks off.
Yes.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Broken lives, broken strings, broken threads, broken springs, broken idols, broken heads.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
The president of the University of Maryland shows up out of the blue. How about that?
Yeah, I know. Incredible. And I just met Griffin in there, who's got an amazing story.
He is an amazing person, yes.
I mean, wow. What an impressive guy.
Some very nice guests this morning. And
I didn't know. You didn't prep me on any of this. I would have put on a nicer shirt. Actually, I do have a BEF shirt on.
You got a great shirt on.
I do have a BEF shirt on.
Got your Flag and Anthem golf shirt on awesome. Today, because you're going to get ready to play a little golf again today.
That is correct.
It's your boy Lee didn't give us a heads up.
Yeah, Lee's a little forgetful.
I'm like, you guys involved with the foundation? I'm the president of the University of Maryland. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, that's... did you even know this was happening today?
I didn't know until this morning, Susan. Oh, okay. I didn't know until this morning either. So, wow. But yeah, it turned out to be great and everything worked out. Sometimes this is the best way to do things. Because if we don't do it this way, then, you know, Al starts complaining... What's going on? What are we doing? What do I have to do? And, you know, this whole thing goes on.
Yeah, I mean, so now I got to change my rundown that these guys are in there. Okay. I had 8:45 poop jokes. I got to now cross that off and do something a little more serious now. I mean, my goodness.
Let's talk about the NCAA and how screwed up it is.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, that's something else. I mean, we could do that from now until 10 o'clock. No?
Yes, we could. Yes, we could. There's a lot of stuff that is still up in the air.
Yes. And by the way, it's going to be we are playing golf today.
We are.
It's going to be about 90 degrees.
I can handle it.
It's fine. I know we can
handle
it. I just
come in with a rash tomorrow.
Is our host going to be able to handle it?
Yeah, I don't know why he wouldn't be able to handle it.
I don't know. It seems like a guy likes to be comfortable. You know?
Yeah.
He's going to be a little uncomfortable.
It's going to be a little uncomfortable, I'm sure, but
he can handle that?
Yeah, he'll handle it.
Is he a sweater like me?
He's a sweater.
Yeah.
Ugh. But everybody's a sweater in today's weather.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're a sweater in today's weather, it's really bad. You get soaked.
Yeah, I was at a 4-year-old princess birthday party yesterday outside.
Oh, nice.
Yes, and all the little gals showed up in princess outfits and everything.
I had one of those back in February. Did you hire princesses?
Sydney did, yes.
Okay.
We had one princess came and she sang. And
just one?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I got something on you guys. I had three.
Oh, you did?
We had three.
Wow.
We had Elsa, Cinderella, and...
Rapunzel?
The Little Mermaid was there.
A Little Mermaid, okay.
The Little Mermaid was there, yes. You know, because at the end of the movie, the Little Mermaid gets legs. So... She can walk.
She can walk, yeah.
She can be with that prince.
There's only one decision that I was involved in yesterday that I thought I made the right decision because it was kind of warm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Sydney told Matt to turn on the slip and slide. And I'm like, I'm not thinking of slip and slide right now.
No, not a good
one. I mean, I know everybody's sweaty and everything, but not the slip and slide.
Not the slip and slide.
No.
Is Matt coming tomorrow, by the way?
No.
He's not coming tomorrow.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Just making sure. Because I had some stuff for him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had some stuff. So anyway, yeah, those birthday parties, and I told you that kid that that Sabrina had a crush on showed up as Prince Charming at the door with flowers.
Yes.
I mean, it's just...
It's happening fast.
It is happening fast. It's happening a little bit too fast. But the princess birthday party, that's great. So that's where you went yesterday, and then we'll be hanging out today and tomorrow. We got a lot of time together.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's a lot.
I know.
You didn't sound very enthused by that.
You're like, yeah, I know.
No, I'm just saying. Tomorrow's the Met game, all day today. I mean, God.
I'm going to be, think about the, this is not a complaint.
Okay.
I'm just throwing it out there. We've been talking a lot about roads.
Yes.
But think about today, leaving New Jersey at about 4:30, 5 o'clock to go back to Sayville. And then doing the same thing from Queens the next day.
I'm doing the same thing, man, so it's all right.
No, I know, but I'm farther than you, though. You know,
I know, I know.
Farther. I got to keep going and going and going. But we'll be all right. We'll be all right.
Hey, listen, it could be worse, man. There are more things that we can complain about, for sure.
No, but it's not a complaint. It's just that I'm doing very cool stuff. It's just that what I'm working on, and something that Al Dukes and I, we've talked about many times, what I'm working on is to try to eliminate the dread to be able to enjoy the thing that I'm doing. Instead, in years past, I'm still not good at this, but I'm working on it. In years past, I'd never be able to enjoy that Met game with Sabrina and you and everybody else, because I'd be thinking about the trip home, and all I'd be doing is staring at the clock, and I got to get out of here, and this is I can't believe it. I wouldn't enjoy the moment.
You know what that is? That is a solid, I mean, really solid mental health tip right there.
Self-awareness. You got to understand first what you do, and then you got to say, I don't want to do this anymore, and then you got to work on it. So, like, today, playing golf, it's going to be very hot. Doesn't matter. Going to be fine. We're going to have a good time.
Playing golf, man.
But I'm not going to be thinking about the commute home until I get in the car. Then when I get in the car, I'll start to freak out and look at the ways and go.
It won't be so bad, I don't think, because you'd be going maybe against some traffic until you get on the other side of the, I'm assuming you're going the GW Bridge and across Bronx.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll have a good time.
You know what I also think about? I think about the, and this is not in any way morbid. It's just that I think this should help others. Is I have the deathbed conversation with myself when I have this dread. I think, what are you going to be thinking about? Like, let's say you're late. Hopefully I don't get eliminated.
Deathbed conversation with yourself?
Yeah, the death. What are you talking to yourself about when you're late? Now, hopefully it's not like a immediate, like I get hit by a train thing. You know what I'm saying? Like if I have the ability to have a conversation with myself and I know my days are limited, what am I going to be thinking about? I'm going to be thinking about the great days at the beautiful golf courses. I'm going to be thinking about going to the beach with my family. I'm going to be thinking about taking Sabrina to her first baseball game. What I'm not going to be thinking about is schlepping all the stuff from the boat to the beach or sitting in 4 hours of traffic to get home. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be thinking about that stuff. So why let that stuff dominate your life?
Again, a very solid mental health tip.
You know?
And I appreciate that.
That's taken a long time to even get to this point, and yeah, I'm still not good at it.
You realize that there are thousands upon thousands of people going through what you're speaking about right now.
Yeah.
They're miserable. They're in their cars. You heard Karen Stewart this morning. Yeah. The Holland Tunnel, the Lincoln Tunnel, the GW Bridge
sucks,
all backed up. The Bell Parkway sucks. Yeah, I know that. And that's why your mental health tip this morning will help thousands of people here in the greater New York area.
I hope so. I hope so. And it's just, you just can't let it carry over. That's the thing. Can't let it carry over. That's why you have like a stress ball, you punch something or whatever, you scream, and then you're like, all right, it's over with now.
That's why you get a breakfast ball in the first tee.
That too. Yes, absolutely.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Broken lines, broken strings, broken threads, broken springs, broken idols, broken heads.
Well, we're Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
The president of the University of Maryland shows up out of the blue. How about that?
Yeah, I know. Incredible. And I just met Griffin in there, who's got an amazing story.
He is an amazing person, yes.
I mean, wow. What an impressive guy.
Some very nice guests this morning. And
I didn't know. You didn't prep me on any of this. I would have put on a nicer shirt. Actually, I do have a BEF
shirt on. You got a great shirt on.
I do have a BEF shirt on.
Got your flag and anthem golf shirt on today, because you're going to get ready to play a little golf again today.
That is correct.
Your boy leading, give us a heads up.
Yeah, Lee's a little forgetful.
I'm like, you guys involved with the foundation? I'm the president of the University of Maryland. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, that's... did you even know this was happening today?
I didn't know until this morning, Susan. Okay. I didn't know until this morning either. So, wow. But, yeah, it turned out to be great, and everything worked out. Sometimes this is the best way to do things. Because if we don't do it this way, then, you know, Al starts complaining... What's going on? What are we doing? What do I have to do? And, you know, this whole thing goes on.
Yeah, I mean, so now I got to change my rundown that these guys are in there.
Okay.
I had 8:45 poop jokes. I got to now cross that off and do something a little more serious now. I mean, my goodness.
Let's talk about the NCAA and how screwed up it is.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, that's something else. I mean, we could do that from now until 10 o'clock. No?
Yes, we could. Yes, we could. There's a lot of stuff that is still up in the air.
Yes. And by the way, it's going to be what? We are playing golf today.
We are.
It's going to be about 90 degrees.
I can handle it.
It's fine. I know we can
handle
it. I'm
just coming with a rash tomorrow.
Is our host going to be able to handle it?
Yeah, I don't know why he wouldn't be able to handle it.
I don't know. He seems like a guy who likes to be comfortable. You know?
Yeah.
He's going to be a little uncomfortable.
It's going to be a little uncomfortable, I'm sure, but
he'll handle that.
Yeah, he'll handle it.
Is he a sweater like me?
He's a sweater.
Yeah,
but everybody's a sweater in today's weather.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're a sweater in today's weather, it's really bad. You get soaked.
Yeah, I was at a 4-year-old princess birthday party yesterday outside.
Oh, nice.
Yes, and all the little gals showed up in princess outfits and everything.
I had one of those back in February. Did you hire princesses?
Sydney did, yes.
Okay.
We had one princess came and she sang. And
just one?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I got something on you guys. I had three.
Oh, you did?
We had three.
Wow.
We had Elsa, Cinderella, and
Rapunzel?
The Little Mermaid was there.
A Little Mermaid, okay.
Little Mermaid was there, yes. You know, because at the end of the movie, the Little Mermaid gets legs. So... She can walk.
She can walk, yeah.
She can be with that prince.
There's only one decision that I was involved in yesterday that I thought I made the right decision because it was kind of warm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Sydney told Matt to turn on the slip and slide. And I'm like, I'm not thinking of slip and slide right now.
No, not a good
one. I mean, I know everybody's sweaty and everything, but not the slip and slide.
Not the slip and slide.
No.
Is Matt coming tomorrow, by the way?
No.
He's not coming tomorrow.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Just making sure. Because I had some stuff for him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had some stuff. So anyway, yeah, those birthday parties. And I told you that kid that that Sabrina had a crush on showed up as Prince Charming at the door with flowers.
Yes.
I mean, it's just...
It's happening fast.
It is happening fast. It's happening a little bit too fast. But the princess birthday party, that's great. So that's where you went yesterday, and then we'll be hanging out today and tomorrow. We got a lot of time together.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's a lot.
I know.
You didn't sound very enthused by that.
You're like, yeah, I know.
No, I'm just saying. Tomorrow's the Met game, all day today. I mean, God.
I'm going to be, think about the, this is not a complaint.
Okay.
I'm just throwing it out there. We've been talking a lot about roads.
Yes.
But think about today, leaving New Jersey at about 4:30, 5 o'clock to go back to Sayville. And then doing the same thing from Queens the next day.
I'm doing the same thing, man, so it's all right.
No, I know, but I'm farther than you, though. You know.
I know.
Farther. I got to keep going and going and going. But we'll be all right. We'll be all right.
Hey, listen, it could be worse, man. There are more things that we can complain about, for sure.
No, it's not a complaint. It's just that I'm doing very cool stuff. It's just that what I'm working on, and something that Al Dukes and I, we've talked about many times. What I'm working on is to try to eliminate the dread to be able to enjoy the thing that I'm doing. Instead, in years past, I'm still not good at this, but I'm working on it. In years past, I'd never be able to enjoy that Met game with Sabrina and you and everybody else because I'd be thinking about the trip home and all I'd be doing is staring at the clock and I got to get out of here and I can't believe it. I wouldn't enjoy the moment.
You know what that is? That is a solid, I mean, really solid mental health tip right there.
Self-awareness. You got to understand first what you do, and then you got to say, I don't want to do this anymore, and then you got to work on it. So, like, today, playing golf, it's going to be very hot. Doesn't matter. We're gonna be fine. We're going to have a good time.
Playing golf, man.
But I'm not going to be thinking about the commute home until I get in the car. Then when I get in the car, I'll start to freak out and look at the ways and go.
It won't be so bad, I don't think, because you'd be going maybe against some traffic until you get on the other side of the I'm assuming you're going to GW Bridge and across Bronx. Thanks, man.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll have a good time.
You know what I also think about? I think about the, and this is not in any way morbid. It's just that I think this should help others. Is I have the deathbed conversation with myself when I have this dread. I think, what are you going to be thinking about? Like, let's say you're late. Let's, well, hopefully I don't get eliminated.
Deathbed conversation yourself?
Yeah, the death. What are you talking to yourself about when you're late? Now, hopefully it's not like a immediate, like I get hit by a train thing. You know what I'm saying? Like if I have the ability to have a conversation with myself and I know my days are limited, what am I going to be thinking about? I'm going to be thinking about the great days at the beautiful golf courses. I'm going to be thinking about going to the beach with my family. I'm going to be thinking about taking Sabrina to her first baseball game. What I'm not going to be thinking about is schlepping all the stuff from the boat to the beach or sitting in 4 hours of traffic to get home. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be thinking about that stuff. So why let that stuff dominate your life?
Again, a very solid mental health tip.
You know?
And I appreciate that.
That's taken a long time to even get to this point, and yeah, I'm still not good at it.
You realize that there are thousands upon thousands of people going through what you're speaking about right now.
Yeah.
They're miserable. They're in their cars. You heard Terrence Stewart this morning. Yeah. The Holland Tunnel, the Lincoln Tunnel, the GW
Bridge.
It sucks,
all backed
up. The Bell Parkway sucks. Yeah, I know that. And that's why your mental health tip this morning will help thousands of people here in the greater New York area.
I hope so. And it's just, you just can't let it carry over. That's the thing. Can't let it carry over. That's why you have like a stress ball. You punch something or whatever. You scream and then you're like, all right, it's over with now.
That's why you get a breakfast ball in the first tee.
That too. Yes, absolutely.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.